The Orange Catholic Foundation is pleased to bring you the following Father Spitzer homily.
Today, of course, we get a new high point in this drama between the evil spirit working through Judas and the chief priests, and between the Holy Spirit working, obviously, through Jesus and the other apostles, and with everybody sort of situated in between. And here is Jesus just immersed in what I would call both betrayal and human weakness. The very disciple that Jesus is closest to, namely Peter, he knows already will betray him, and sort of has to say to Peter, you're going to do this. And, you know, Peter is just almost non-cognizant of even the possibility because he is so loyal. But on the other hand, we have Judas, and Judas is truly intent on betraying the Lord. So difficult to know why that would be. I have my own theories, you know, maybe talk about them tomorrow, you know, Spy Wednesday when we see the actual betrayal of Judas. But, you know, there's no question that he intends to betray Jesus. And not only that, he intends to enrich himself with the proceedings of betraying this person who he's been around. He's seen his power, he's seen the wonderful good that Jesus does for people, but somehow it's not connecting in with him. He has some other agenda, some other motive that that is causing him to betray Jesus. I don't think it's simply greed. I think he's looking for the showdown at the OK Corral. He's looking to find, you know, a moment where Jesus, once challenged, will maybe thrust back the chief priests and the Romans, and himself emerge as kind of this very powerful figure. But the point is, there's this huge space between Peter and Judas. Both of them are going to do something terrible, really. I mean, one of them is going to deny Jesus three times. The other one is going to betray him. But there's an infinite gap between those two disciples. Not only an infinite gap between who they are in their hearts, because, of course, Peter is loyal beyond belief, and Judas is disloyal beyond belief for whatever motives. I mean, he's intent on disloyalty. And Peter, of course, is weak. You know, and Jesus says it again in the Garden of Gethsemane, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Peter is scared. And, of course, he's going to act out of his fear. And so he's going to do something that, you know, is just behaviorally is really terrible. But on the other hand, from his own motivational point, Jesus understands that he's acting out of his fear. And so, of course, even his best friend, the one he wants to be most loyal to, he's scared to death. He's completely confused. And, of course, he does this terrible act. But Jesus is going to forgive that act right away in his encounter with Peter, because he knows that Peter just has this heart, this loyal desire to serve him, his desire to be with him, this desire to give himself totally to him, and that Peter will, in the end, sacrifice himself for the Lord, even though he failed on the first attempt. He will do it during the persecution of Nero in 64 AD, when, of course, Nero blames the fire of Rome that he probably started on the Christians. And, of course, Peter is the one who's going to suffer right up front by being crucified upside down, imitating not only our Lord, but, of course, in imitating an indignity, that really manifests his desire to serve and identify with him. So we got these two dispositions of the heart. And of course, we can judge the exterior acts of these people, the denial, the betrayal. But of course, we can see there's an infinite gap in motive, an infinite gap in the moral standing of each of these two people, one of whom it really intends to betray him, the other acting out of fear and weakness. And for me, there's a sign of hope in this, because, you know, I have some Peter in me. You know, I can see how, you know, I could, act out of weakness or do something out of weakness, still wanting to serve God, still wanting to serve the Lord Jesus, still wanting to serve his church. And yet I can see how God could forgive me as he could forgive Peter, as the prodigal son's father forgives the son, could actually do that because, of course, there is this almost, you know, huge latitude of mercy in God's heart, an infinite latitude of mercy in God's heart. It doesn't all depend on me. It doesn't all depend on Peter. It depends, too, ultimately, on the mercy of the Lord, judging the heart of the person who manifests that weakness. But Jesus is already prepared, right as we celebrate this, upcoming week, already aware of what is going to happen, already aware of how he's going to rehabilitate Peter in his mercy, and of course, make Peter the very head of the church. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to another podcast brought to you by the Orange Catholic Foundation.